We are up to page Reish Nun Dalet. We are in the middle of the Sha'arim Mitzvah Halacha up to Yud. Okay, Reish Nun Dalet on the bottom, Ois Yud, Shumuchzuk Bikashrus. This appears in Halacha Chof Aleph. Mi She'en Makin Oiso Shehu Muchzuk Bikashrus. What do you do if you go, if a person that's not 100%, you don't know if he is reliable, and he invites you to eat a meal out of his home? Can you trust his kashrus? So we learned in the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, he was a very interesting statement, which I mentioned, not necessarily apply today, that there are different standards, business standards at home. Even though he may not be reliable in business, when he sells his store may not have a good hechsher, but when you go to his home, you can trust him, because the standards of business are lower than one's private standards. That's not necessarily true today. I told you yesterday, I think we're just the opposite. So here he says, "Shumuchzuk b'kashrus, I'm Baruch HaShulchan, te'ein hakavonah she'et tzadik v'chasim." In order to trust a person, you don't need the person to be known for his piety. Everyone has to know that he's a very holy person. That's not necessary. Elo kol shemisnaig al pi das Yisrael. Anyone that does what you would expect an Orthodox Jew to do. Maniach talis utfilin. He comes to shul. He puts on talis and tefillin. Umespalel gimel pavim b'chol yom. He davens 3 times a day. V'noitel yadav le'achila. He washes. Imagine what he says. What makes a person religious? You go to shul 3 times a day. You wear talis and tefillin, and you wash for netilas yodan. That's a very interesting thing, because I once heard someone speak about this. You'd be shocked that people that are not. They're not nizer, not netilas yadayim. It's a shocking thing. I taught from as a child how important it is. Umanigas kol b'nei beis l'bekashrus, zenik u'muchzik l'bekashrus, v'efshah shere'ez z'prat hu choshud, hu b'nei kalos adav ve'enav. Just because you see a person that's not careful in one matter, you see he speaks lashon hara. So does that mean if he speaks lashon hara, does that mean that you're not going to trust his food? Not necessarily. It's a problem, but it's not something which makes him completely, takes him off the charts. Everything else, he's muchzuk b'kashrus. That's okay. But I am shal shuvus levush Mordechai. Nishal sham isha muteris liyos mash geches bebeis afia shal nachri. Is a woman allowed to be a mashgiach? So I'll tell you, as a matter of fact, that they do. Where do they have this?
Out in the Midwest.
Okay, so the OU has a policy. They do have women mashgichim. They do have it. They do have it. They do have women. Okay, so he's bringing down the shana. Obviously, the OU has worked out all of the issues which the Shi'arim, the Levush Mordechai objects. Levush Mordechai is going to object, say it's very problematic. We're going to see, but it's very obvious that the OU and all the kashrus organizations which do use women, they have worked out all of the problems. Let's see what he says. So he's asked in Isha Muteres Lios Mashkeches Bebeis Safiya Shal Nachri Hela Sham Al Pi Harama VeHashach De'ein Isha Nemenes B'Mokom Shiyesh Torach. Any place where there is effort, something has to be, requires effort. Why? Now this is shocking what he says. The Atzlanios Hain, women by nature are lazy, and you can't show. Oh boy, you can imagine if a woman came to this shir. The Atzlanios Hain, the woman in Koilo. They in America they accept it. I told you when you're outside, they said that today they've worked at all the problems, so it's not an issue today. But let's read what he says. Uvenidoin zet sricha. There are many things you need to be awake in the middle of the night. Yisera al taharas akelim mitaruvis, to make sure the kelim do not taruvis. Mitaruvis do not get mixed up. This is a real problem. Many times the mashkiach has to go all alone to places where you are alone with men, and there are many issues of yichud. This is a very serious matter today. Women going to factories and serving as mashkiachim.
Today you have women supervisors.
Right. So today, you know, so they worked at all the problems. But theoretically, it's not so simple. Theoretically, you know, it's not a simple thing. There are definitely very major issues of yichud. In the factories, they do things in the middle of the night. They are mashkich in the middle of the year, all times of the day, middle of the night. The isha asur lisyachir afilum kama noshim. It's halach and yichur. A man can be miyachir with many women, but a woman cannot be miyachir with many men. Im einam kasherim, if they're not kasherim. And dealing with goyim, you go out in the, out west, who knows when you're going to different factories, who says it's so simple. The roiv nochrim perutzim heim. Kimasha kosav be evinu ezer. The kevin sin shayveres al isur yichur. So if a woman does this, so she's an avarion. She has been transgressed laws of yichud. How can we trust her hashkacha? Ayin sham. This is no. Yeah. Lushim Mordechai. I do not know.
But if she doesn't feel us, she dies. She does 3 times a day.
Oh God!
I mean, that's what we used as our basis.
No, but there are limits. Never. He didn't say that. That's what Aruch HaShulchan said. That's the you're mixing and matching.
No,
the Aruch HaShulchan is the one that said.
What passes the namonis? If someone is a mummer for Dor Echad,
yeah,
does that pass the namonis or not?
So it appears the difference of opinion, and it appears what he does.
We had before, the Feirish, if you have Naman, you do everything.
Yes.
Right. We don't trust you in your business. We don't trust you. Because even if you're a Naman, we don't trust you. When you can make a buck, you're solvently trained.
Okay, so it's a gray. It's a gray area. There are certain things.
No, he said Beferish.
That's the Kitzer said that.
Right. But
so the Aruch, not everyone agrees with the Kitzer. You're quoting different opinions.
But the Kitzer says that even if you have Namanos,
yes,
you can be a tzaddik.
But not in business.
In business, you're not tzaddik. You go to business 3 times a day.
But you're not trusting the business.
I don't trust you when I walk into the.
It comes to money, we don't trust you.
No, you walk into the store in the Barabbas, you say, is this kosher? He said, of course it's kosher. My wife brings it home. I said, why? It's straight. It's vitamins. You're allowed to. He said, it's allowed. I said, well, who's a makshe? He's not a makshe.
Okay.
When they repackage, he's a businessman.
Your point is the standards are the same.
Huh?
So standards are the same in his house as in his business.
No, in his house, he doesn't bring from his store.
The example he gave was that he does bring it home.
No, but I said my wife went into the store and bought, not his wife.
Oh,
but in his house,
he wouldn't bring it.
He would, for example, let's say he owns Glatmar. Let's for example. In his house, he only goes to, he buys Satmar Shechita. He goes to the Satmar store and buys the Shechita for his own house. He only buys, not only, he doesn't buy JJ, he buys Golden Flow.
What's the difference?
One is a Satmar Shechita, one is another.
So don't buy from him. So don't go.
No, so that's what he says. So in his house, he buys JJ. But when in his store, as big as a tzaddik is, you know,
so don't buy from him.
No, no, not for me.
But you're in his house because he's going to serve you Satmar Shechita.
Huh?
You said he's going to
right.
Say,
you can eat it. That's what he says. That's what Chafar Halim says.
All right. He just is point making this horror. Like we said, halacha l'maaseh, we don't pass like Levushim Mordechai. I just want to bring out some of these issues. The OU and other hashgacha organizations, they use women. They obviously, there's no issue of yichud. Today in America, there are different standards, there are different techniques, and yichud is not a problem. They've worked at all these issues, and halacha l'maaseh, it's okay. But it's just interesting to point out these opinions and these issues. Obviously, Levushim Mordechai holds that being over on Yichud is such a serious violation of Das Yisrael, already a choshed on Kashrus. Stam, a person speaks a little Lashon Hara, that's Aruch HaShulchan says. Listen, the guy's a good guy, he daven 3 times a day, he doesn't know the severity, he doesn't never learn Sefer Chafetz Chaim, he never learned the Chomer HaDavar. So, when it comes to, you can sit by his table, you can eat food. Oh, but he's an Avarian, he says. No, he doesn't appreciate that again. But Levushi Mordechai seems to say that a woman that's mamish a prutza, that's already a different madrega.
He
says a woman that's over on Isra Yichud, and she goes among Goyim,
So because she's over Yichud doesn't mean she's a prutza.
Okay, you're right, I take it back. I went too far. Okay, you're right. I went too far, you're right. But it is, he's just trying to point out, the point what we take away from this is there are different madregos. We're all sensitive. There are certain people that do things that have gone over the line. There are men, no ain't tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechta. Every person is nichshol in some. Every person has room for improvement. But there are certain things you don't do. And when you go over the line, that's already a statement that, you know, you have a whole different hashkafa.
But it comes out from him.
Yeah.
And he doesn't counter their arguments.
He doesn't hold from it. The Levushim Mordechai says it's no. He holds that a woman cannot flat out.
Rabbi Brown
is quoting this 60-70 years ago, and he's writing this. Right. A lot has changed since then. And he's just quoting things to bring out issues. He's not a lot of things. He doesn't say halach l'maisa. If he wants halach l'maisa, he'll tell you halach l'maisa.
He got my goat. A saita. What's a saita?
Yeah.
The husband suspects her.
Yeah.
Of being mazanos.
Yeah.
So is her cheskas kashas bottle?
No.
If she has a store and she makes bread. You say maybe it's not kosher?
Not necessarily.
Right, but you need to buy him to be boydic, and even
look at the last two lines. There's a shiloh. Look what he says.
That's another sugi. That's chiluk beis. We didn't get there. That matzah shmurim.
That's why he
matzah shmurim. Shei matzah smitzvah. That's another issue.
Is the OK? Is the OU the only organization?
I think they all. You said it in Eretz Yisrael.
The OK does it.
Also, they do. Everyone does it. Everyone does it. Say it's a different world today. Everyone seems to do this. Everyone relies. They do even you can go to him. The Paschal Shalsi also. I was once at a OU ask OU. So there was a rav. It was a rav, and he asked Rav Herschel Schechter. He says he has to make parnasa. He's a rav, but he has to make parnasa. So he works. So many times the Baal Batim call up, and he's not home. They have shilas. And his wife knows everything.
This was in Europe. This is nothing. This is stories in Europe that the I know stories of the names where the rav was old and he was blind.
Yeah.
And they brought in chickens and the wife. Why
Paskin?
And she would open.
She Paskin, so she was trained.
I see the Sher Rebbe, whose husband died young. I think she was a Kutzka ankle who had a seal who gave Shalashuddin Styra.
Okay. I've heard Shachter said it's okay. He said your wife can pass the little shayla.
The Belzer Rebbe just gave a lecture to 2,000 women. He had 2,000. He had a machitza.
And what did he say to them? What did he tell them?
You can have one woman, many men.
They're not kosher.
That's loch of yichud. What did the Belzer Rebbe tell the women? Tell the women. What did he tell them?
Was that on the video?
Yeah.
What did he tell them? What did he say?
I'll show it to you.
What did he say?
What,
they have to shave their heads?
Yeah, and
the bells shave their heads?
Yeah, he said that, and he said about...
They don't really listen.
No wearing shoes with high heels or that not.
Yeah, I know, I heard it.
Okay, what else?
That they showed the bells are really actually saying that.
Yeah, there's a curtain in front of him.
He said it?
Yeah. He gave it a lecture and he put new rules.
Okay.
And the women are revolting against it. They said, you know, you don't tell us how to
wear
it. The men have problems. Why do we have to sell them? They're moving closer to the...
To what? To
Taliban.
Okay, let's go further. That's another sugya. Can you trust a woman if she makes for you matzah mitzvah, l'shei matzah mitzvah?
But it says to buy it from her, not that she's baking it, right?
Lignes, so then I don't know. So we have to see. I don't know. I didn't look it up.
Bakery. I've gone to shops.
Most of them are women. The women are better.
The women will sell it to you. You pay them by check.
That's a business. They're not the ones that make me. They're making l'shem matzah mitzvah. They're part of a whole organization. It's not them alone.
The women are better than the men.
You're talking two separate things. You're telling me the one you give the check to is the woman behind the cash register, and you're talking about the one who actually makes the matzah.
Is that what he said?
Two different things. Both are true. I think he's talking about a woman that's independent. She does everything herself. She makes the matzah, she gives you the matzah. So can you trust a woman who does the entire process from beginning to end all alone with no supervision? With no supervision. So we discuss this. Today, I don't think we have such shilas today. Let's go next. Tarnagolim Yudal. Tarnagolim, let's go. Then we discuss all different types of chickens, which have all different types of defects. Tarnagayos, these halachas, pretty much, let's read. It says, I'm shal shuvah sima yosha, lahagoyin maharam, mi tarna. Nidoin, ha'oifois, hanaladim, ibeitzim, shinishamu, alidei mukhune. Eggs that are hatched through incubators or different types of techniques. V'yotza aleihem kola she'enem chayim yud beis chodesh. We have certain types of birds that the fact chickens, poultry that we know since they are mass produced on farms or under conditions which are not ideal, they will not live 12 months. I told you, man, the chickens that you buy today in Glatmart or Pomegranate, they're about 6 to 7 weeks old. Check it out. That's what I was told with the Empire. Kosher birds today in the market are, that is the ideal time to slaughter a bird. They're manufactured to shecht at 6 to 7 weeks. Non-kosher poultry are sold in the market between 5 to 6 weeks. Once you get to 5 and 6 weeks, the truth is it's no longer profitable. And you pay more
for them.
You pay exactly. It's no longer, they're not going to grow more, and it's diminishing returns. You're not going to make any more money by keeping the bird alive for another week, by feeding it for another feed. The only reason why kosher birds are fed for another week, you, the customer, pays the price. The customer is paying the price for rent and for a pension plan and for a shelter, for food and shelter, and for doctors, healthcare. Okay, the kosher consumer is paying the cost for keeping a bird alive a whole week. Chaye Shah, think about that. The birds owe us. Chaye Shah. Why? Why do we do that? Why are we so generous? Two reasons. Number one, we need a thick skin, because the feathers have to be taken off with machines that do not use fire. They need to use rubber fingers. The skin has to get thicker. You need that week for the skin to thicken. Number two, more importantly, this is really, really because there are many more trefos in the intestines and in the stomach on a 5 to 6 week old bird than a 6 to 7 week old. Magically, when you let the bird live another week,
it's cured.
You don't, when you cut it open in halacha, you're not going to find shilas. Very, very much less, there are much less problems internally in the bedika process on a bird that lives 1 week. That's just how it is. A bird that's killed after 5 weeks, they cut it open.
Who discovered it?
The OU, the Empire. Empire discovered this.
Can you imagine if they would have known this back in the Shulchan Aruch?
What do you mean? I mean, they have 5 or 6 weeks? They probably kept birds alive there for months.
Yeah, they didn't.
They didn't have this idea of five.
We have such volume and statistics.
It's to the penny, to the minute.
Animals, you can figure out from the trade what's good.
Exactly. No. Exactly. We know that you go. You have by animals. You know exactly how many you're going to get glatt. How many are basic glatt. How many are going to be kosher. They know from right the beginning. They know different parts of the world. Go up north. Go to Canada. Go into the cold regions. They have a very high percentage of glatt kosher. Even basic glatt. The sirchus in the lungs comes from humidity. They know this. That's why. Down south, anything that's down, that's south, with this humidity, you get a lot, it causes the animals to have sirchus. And they that's why it's very hard to get a glatt kosher. It's expensive. Or basically, it's glatt is impossible.
Where's the meat now comes from? Central and South America.
Central, I don't know the statistics.
Mexico, Uruguay.
They have, everything is in the book. Yangi Lach, there's a book. They have it here in the Yemit. There's a book called... Masech Techulin is a picture book, a blue picture book, Tmunas Chol by Yanki Lach from Tar Vidas. So there he has all the statistics. In the back of the book he has some fascinating...
Now, a lot of our meat that comes here is from Uruguay.
Where's that?
South America.
South America, really?
Yes.
I thought it was all from...
Uruguay.
Yeah.
In other words, you get things that come into, let's say, Kolo Rabbanim or Maishas or...
Yeah.
That it's Uruguay.
I don't know. It comes from, okay. So maybe it's better. Okay, the animals that come from different parts of the world have a different expectation of how many sirchos will be found. But here he talks at a very interesting shaila. They have birds. Obviously, this was before today. Society wouldn't tolerate conditions where the birds would. Maybe it's even true today. Where the birds are not going to live for 12 months. If you would let this bird live naturally for 12 months, it would be dead. Because they're artificially produced. Today the eggs they're fertilized, and the way they are produced, it's done in a way where the birds have a very, very short life expectancy. We don't care, because we slaughter it way before they would anyway die. But here's asking a very interesting shaila. Since Alpiderech HaTeva, a bird is supposed to live. I don't know what's the life expectancy of a bird. I have no idea. What's the life expectancy of a pigeon? You see, go out to the street, ocean avenue. Ask a pigeon next time you see a pigeon. How old are you, and what is your life expectancy?
They don't tell you.
You got to talk to
the ones in ocean.
You got to talk to their accountants. You got to talk to their accountants. They know the pension. They know all the statistics. But it seems here there is such a breed of poultry, which the rumors have it that if they would be let to live, they would not live 12 months. It's a treifa. That's the basic halach in Hilchas Treifas. The reason why an animal treifa, it's not going to live for 12 months. So how are we allowed to go to Glatmart and buy a bird, buy poultry, when the bird was slaughtered when it was 5-6 weeks old, had this bird been let to live, it would have died after 2 months. So the bird, its very nature, it's a treifa. There's something obviously wrong with it from the start. So what's going on? We're eating treifas. So shayotz aleim kolosh she'enim chayim yud beis chodesh v'dayta sham l'osram. He what he says? He paskins. This person is writing this tshuva. I don't know who he is. Lagoy maram mitarna. He paskins that it's a treifa. Al piataisis the mevur sham the davar she'enim miskayim yud beis chodesh have a treifa. Unbelievable! Fascinating his insight. Ayin b'shayel tshuvus chavatzelas hasharoin lagoy maram babad meet rempul. I don't know where that is from. Return a poll. Herich benidon zevhel al pi halacha lehatiram. It's mutter. It's mutter. It's okay. Bababad. Ve'afil roachi siim. Even though he says shekeitz le'amar oyd lo'isav le'heter ki shama shayom nishtan le'toiv shechaim yosim mishoifos v'yachkiru achazeh. He says that I heard that today things conditions have changed. They treat the birds well, and if they wouldn't slaughter them after 6 weeks, they would live for 12 months. But you have to make an investigation. You have to really know what's going on. Interesting. Shav shalsa tshuvas ma'arash engel l'mori v'rabi. Lemarenu Harav, whoever this person is, Gamke Nishal Bezeh, he was asked the same question. The Helal Pi Halacha Shein Shum Pikbuk Bezeh, there's no problem, it's okay. When the Forish the Ein Kavanah that when the Torah says there that something which has not lived for 12 months is a treifa, the Kavanah that Torah says Shem the Bnei Shein Chayyid Beis Chodesh Choshev Takeif Treifa Ella. That doesn't mean that it is a treifa now. It doesn't mean that this creature is not going to live for 12 months, so we consider it to be a treifa at this very moment. That's not what Torah says. To say the Ella Kavanah that Torah says the Ein Chayyid Beis Chodesh Shalotia Nases Achar Kach Treifa, that if it's not going to live 12 months, it should not be afterwards a treifa. Umutur la'ochlam b'lishum chshash. What Yitoyis means to say, Elakavonis Atoyis is the Einei Chai Yudbeis Chodesh Shalo Tia. I'm not sure what he means. I don't know what this means. Ayin Sham. Uvchein b'shail tshuvas marsham shehelo lehatir b'zvosamat v'cheis b'medinas America megadle mehem adorim v'chayim k'mo sho'efas v'ein mefachvikim bohem. So he writes here the Rabbi Bruon, he must have verified this, that the Metzius is today that if you let the birds live on the farm, they will live 12 months. So today in America we have very high standards. The birds would live 12 months. But this is a very interesting insight. What would be if you do find a batch of birds, which would be that you have a whole scare. Can you imagine in the newspapers, in the Ated, scandal. They've discovered that all the birds, the poultry today, there's something wrong with them. They die after 6 months. So they'll go and they'll regurgitate all of these old Charles and Shuvas, and then there'll be a hold. No one can buy poultry. And then you have a couple of Shabbos.
Yeah.
Of course, a sick bird. But let's talk about he's presenting here an incredible child, a healthy bird. You go into the market, you go and you have a healthy bird, and you'll discover that if you let the bird live, it's only going to live for 6 months. So that means that there's something wrong with these birds. Where are these birds coming from? Where are the eggs? What's going on over here? There's some disease. But there's nothing wrong. You put the bird through a scanner, you send the bird to the best doctor, and it says the bird is perfectly healthy. But it just is a short life expectancy. So this borders on a Tosfos, which seems to indicate that if a bird does not live for 12 months, it's a treifa. What exactly does Tosfos mean? That is subject to interpretation. Some say it means in a chnami, even though it's healthy, it passed a stress test, and it passed every type of blood test, everything is fine and good, it doesn't matter. Treif is treifa, you can't shachash a bird. Others say, no, that's not what Tosfos means, and it's okay. Yeah.
A think I mentioned, Rabbi, that there was an article in the magazine, the New York Times, about 2 weeks ago, Sunday magazine, about the big problem with salmonella poisoning in birds.
Okay.
In chickens. And they gave a whole thing there. What they do, you know, they give the birds as a general.
They give them antibiotics.
Why do they give them antibiotics? Not because they care about the health of the bird.
By us.
One of the offshoots of antibiotics is growth.
Yeah.
So the bird gets bigger.
Uh-huh.
So they want to do that. But they found problems. They had one, Fresh Farms, I think it's called. They had to pull back how many birds because of salmonella poisoning.
Sure, they kill farms. They quarantine. They kill 100,000 birds in one shot.
The irony is that's not a trefa, right? You don't know if the bird's going to have salmonella. Halachically, his evidence have a health reason. Halachically, the bird has salmonella. There's potential for salmonella. They didn't have microscopes in those days, times of Chazal. So they wouldn't have said, oh, it's
not everybody gets.
But let's say a bird has a virus. Let me ask you a question. I don't know the answer to this question. Let's say a bird is a healthy bird, but it has a virus. And the virus is going to kill the bird within 12 months. Does that mean it's a trefa? How do you define it? Do you define a trefa to mean something physically wrong? Or does it mean a virus? What? I'm not sure that's what a trefa means. A trefa, the Gemara has a very specific list of trefas. Tais is coming along with Mechadish, the new din trefa. Besides this, the Mishnah lists 18 defects. And the Rambam expands the 18 defects to 70. But they're physical defects.
Right, if you have a mad cow and you shecht it, it's probably kosher.
Oh! So it's called the Elcharis, but he's saying over here a new chiddush. He's saying over here that the animal, Tosfos says, an animal is not going to live for 12 months. That also makes it into a trefa. Does that also mean that his case is discussed not a virus? It's just in the DNA of the bird. It doesn't have a life expectancy for 12 months. That's a whole different type. It's not no virus, no illness. But let's say the bird will live for 5 years, but it has a virus, and the virus will take its life. Is that also what Tosfos means when it says 12 months? I don't know the answer to that question. Maybe that's all part of the debate, the dilemma that the Poskim are dealing with. How exactly do you understand this Tosfos? It's not what it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about physical defects. 18/70. Vita. And by the way, those defects don't necessarily take in our times, the Shana Teva, don't cause the animals to die. We know a sircha. Why is an animal a sircha in the lung? All the meat today is not kosher. I mean, meat that's not kosher, it's not glad. It's because there's a sircha on the lung. Why? Because the sircha will turn into a hole, and if there's a hole on the lung, the animal will die within 12 months. We know as a fact that an animal can have holes in its lung and will live a full life with no problem whatsoever. So why is that called? It's a contradiction to the entire concept of a trefa. So the Chazon Ish addressed, this is a very popular Chazon Ish, Einoch Enami, Nishtane HaTeva. At the time when the Torah was given, if an animal had a hole in its lung, it means it was dead within 12 months. Animals have adapted. They have overcome this weakness. Today, it's not going to happen. But the halacha does not change. The mitzvahs, those 18/70 trefas that were true at the time of Matan Torah, remains in force with us ad hayom hazeh, even though the teva has changed. And vice versa. If we know that an animal has a defect that will die within 12 months due to a physical defect, and it's not listed in the Masechta Chulin and the Rambam as one of the trefas, it's kosher. Oh, but it's going to die within 12 months. And maybe that's where you get into the shalom of the Pesach over here. Maybe that would be an exception, but it's not at least a trefa from the category of the Mishnah and the Rambam. It might be a trefa from a different category of the Rambam of 12 months that has to be debated, but not in that list.
It doesn't make a trefa, just
makes a hole.
But it makes it not glut.
Yeah. Well, they're different types, because we hold it's not really a sircha. There are different madrigals of sirchos. There are three madrigals. There is beis yosef, which means mamsh, nothing. And then there's what regular glat, which means you can have sirchos, just it shouldn't be too much. And they have different, I don't know the standards. There are different standards. And then there is the real sirchos. And real sirchos is a treif, a mamsh treif. Okay.
According to the standard, does that mean untreated condition?
I don't know. That's what I mentioned. I don't know. I don't know how what this means. He's just bringing out the point. There is such a concept in Tosfos that 12 months, if it's not going to live 12 months, what does that mean? You see here that they're debating this issue, and it's not clear. And you can extrapolate today with new technology and new advances in medical science. You can extrapolate what exactly the Tosfos mean. And it's not clear. It's just not clear. And you can obviously have posts on both sides. Some will say it's Muslim, some will say it's also. Okay, I just want to bring out issues. That's what I like about doing. He writes it. Everything is very clear. He writes very well. He brings out some very fascinating yisoidus. Okay, next. So the nidin ha'ifa shebet shet savodam orum b'loy noitzos. Another condition. I have no idea what these conditions are. They were birds, healthy birds. They come out of the crate, right? They come out. They're on the production line, and they take and there are no feathers on its neck. So what does that indicate? There's something wrong. They're red on their neck. There was such a type of problem at some point in time in history. The minig is a bird that has no feathers on its neck.
They're in poultry. They're like loads, at least 50 different species of chickens and people.
Featherless
people collect them.
Yeah.
They have very fluffy and with big crowns, all kinds. So someone must have developed one that.
Is it an illness? What kind of condition?
No, it's all without feathers.
Okay, so this is an issue. This is an issue.
Machleik
is a paiskin. Okay, next. Uvenidin ha'ifas hanikroim. How do you say that word in English?
Pearl hens.
What's a pearl hen? I'm so ignorant. I am b'shalas and shuvas chasam soifu chem shuvas maria asad. He bring paskins oisram. He paskins their osram. Why the osram? I guess there's no masaira. Okay, there's no tradition. There are doires. Right? One of the conditions of a bird. That's a turkey. The issue of turkey.
Probably turkey.
Turkey, is it a doires?
They hold that even within a species, if it's a
different that's a very big issue, right? Well,
like
what is called
have
a species?
These naked chickens. They call them naked chickens.
Yeah.
They breed them without any feathers.
No feathers, really.
No feathers.
That's probably very good.
For the factory.
Unless they get chicken, sunburned.
Okay, so he paskin sir oisram yudbeis sheyesh bimimei. Now he goes to the worms. Okay, so let's see what he said. This halach is the halach lamed aleph be'eros wells and rivers shemuchzokin, and it's known that there are worms. You're not allowed to drink the water. Sheyesh bimimeim tolam aimer hashulchan sheshama b'beshem chachmei ateva. He spoke to a scientist. Shemuchol minei mayim uviyichod bimei geshamim molei biruim dakin. Every there's always little creatures. You take under a microscope, you'll always find insects and creepy crawlers. She'ein ha'ayin yichol l'roisam rakim estakel bezuchukis hamagdelis. Unless you look at a microscope, vehein they're found there in multitudes. How can you drink water? How can you even breathe air? Even in the air, you're inhaling insects. Many scientists when you breathe, how are you allowed to breathe? How are you allowed to live? You're doing averos. The answer is, this is the your eye can't see it. A microscope. In other words, what you can't see, things that are potentially there but you can't see with the naked eye, does not prohibit. Only things which you can actually see it. Here is this bar. He's using some terms.
So he would be anti-filter if you can't see it.
No. I told you. We're speaking what it says. The Kobukhats, we're not going to go through it again now. I didn't really go through that much before, but the Kobukhats, the problem is the postgame, the premise, the Shaila of the Kobukhats begins with the premise that it can be seen. It is Nira Leinayim. We mentioned there are different parts of New York City, the water stagnates long enough where the Kobukhats develop to the degree where you can actually take a cup of water and you can see very carefully. There's a little creature crawling around, and you can see the legs and you can see the antenna. Now, most people don't have that problem. The most they'll have is you'll see a dot. But you will see a dot. You'll see some speck. But you can't see that it's a living creature. It looks to you, to the naked eye, that it's a speck of dust. Is that problematic? And we mentioned it's a machlokes ha'poskim. The Shevet Halevi, the trend is that if you can see a speck, and you need a microscope, a magnifying glass, to see that it's a creature, most people are machmir, that's called nira le'inayim. Other posts can disagree. In order to be called nira le'inayim, you have to actually see it crawling around. You have to recognize with the naked eye that this is a living sheretz. If you can't see this living sheretz, you just see the speck of dust. It's machloikis. But if you can't see it at all, even though if you would take a magnifying glass, you would find it, everyone, less man the pollock, that you can consume it, and there's no prohibition whatsoever. So there are three madrigals. You can actually see it, mutter. You can't see it at all, mutter. It's in the middle, is a machloikis aposkim. Kopakots are in category 1 and 2. Either you can see it, mamish with your eyes, or you can at least see there's something there. You may need a magnifying glass to identify that it is a kopakot. Okay, let's go further. Next, let's go halacha yud gimel. The next page, yud gimel v'chein kishayisin. When you make this is a jam. Okay, this word lekpar is jam.
It's prune jam.
So there's a problem. There might be bugs. There might be bugs in this jam, because when these things are preserved, it gets what's called mites. Mites seep into this thing. So nihunikra gamkin, it's called, I don't know what that word is. Whatever that word is. V'ayim mishal shuv semach tzemach tzedek. This is Lubavitch. The hitter oisam hanalkachem migoyim the regilu le paschan ulebatkan. The goyim, he says, in the incredible chiddush, that goyim, they do the bedikah for us. The goyim also inspect these things for worms. And you can rely upon it. It's like Chol of Yisrael. Chol of Yisrael, they also have standards by the goyim, and the standards of the goyim are good enough for us. That's a very big chiddush. The oich ain't shishim neged a toila. The oich, and also they check it. The ode, I think he means sheyeshishim. I think he means it says here shein. I think it's a mistake. He's saying that it's mutter. He's saying that it's mutter. So I think he wants to say over here that it's mutter sheyeshishim neged atoyla, that when they take the bug and they crush it and they grind it up, you have its bottle b'shishim, and it's because it's no longer whole. See, if you have a whole bog, it's not bottle, because a bria is not bottle. But when you take these things and you make out of it an ingredient, and you crush it, and you pulverize it into pieces, it's no longer a bria, it's now just a dover osser. And if you have shishim kneged, it's so I think over here it says shiyesh, could be this mistake in the print. Shiyesh shishim kneged atolo, mishom bishol goyim leka, dinecholim kimoshin chayin. Bishlakim, going back, that these things, there's no problem with bishlakim when you go buy this jam in the store, even though this jam has been cooked by a non-Jew, because the fruit could be eaten raw, and anything that can be eaten raw, if a goy cooks it, is not prohibited mishum bishulakam. The ayin bishut aruga sabosem. Shekos of gamkin lachata nasim stam al yidei Yisraelim, jam that's made from fruits that have potential for bugs that are made from Jews is motor. Shein boitke mitolam, even if they did not check it. The bevada yesh b'chol achas shishim neged atola. Certainly once they take the fruit and they grind it up and they make it into dust and they make it into a jam, it's bottle. The afiva al alpi roiv nasim yosem perish shen nispashlu b'sev gemar bishulakam. And more so that most of the fruits that they're making this jam from that he's discussing are made from fruits at a certain time of the season which do not have a problem of bugs. So there's nothing to worry about. There are no bugs. There are bugs. They've been pulverized. It's not a bria. And in there, they're bottled b'shishim. Don't get carried away. You have to exactly know the situation. Every country is different. And certainly today we live in a world where you can go into a store, you can buy a fruit at any time of the year, you can buy apples. But apples don't grow every time of the year, so they import them from all over the world. They import fruit from all over the world, but that's why the price is always changing. Depends how much it costs to ship from different parts of the world, like strawberries. There's a time of the year where strawberries cost a fortune. What time of the year? In the winter, right? Isn't that true?
Now
it's like off the charts. You have to be a multimillionaire to buy a pack of strawberries. But there are times where they're very cheap. There are times when they're very cheap, because it all depends where they're getting the strawberries from, the different seasons, and sometimes they have to go to the other end of the world to bring it to you, and that's going to increase the price. So and therefore, they're getting different parts of the world. Every part of the world has a different issue with regard to bugs. Halacha yudalit. But let's say you find mites. Okay, you find mites, then you got a big problem. In the summertime, you have ants. Much bigger problem. Mites, milbin, in the flower. When you have flower from the summertime, it's a problem. You can't escape. There's no escape. The ayin berk be crazy placey. Shasamach with ze ala placekim harash the harashba. The beria betela be. The tough kuf samach. A bria is bottled in
960.
Isn't it very chiddush? 960. No concept of bittel. Bittel echad beroiv. Bittel beshishim. Then you have bittel 1 in 100. 1 in 200. And now we have a new. What's 1 in 200? Kilay isahana. Kilayim. Kilayim is bottled in 1 in 100. Truman Meiser is bottle 1 in 100, and Kilayim and Kilayakarim is bottle 1 in 200. And now there's a new bittle called bittle of a bria. You can be makel that a bria creature is bottle 1 in 960. Tough 400, 800 kuf is 100.
Bottle, so it's a
min bria. Not the bria. Bria is not even. It's a bria. It's a creature.
So by 900 ants is bottle.
If you have one complete ant with all of its legs and antennae and its nice little eyes and wings,
the ant is bottle
if it's surrounded in a dish that has the volume of the flower is 960 times total.
If it's a berry,
that's what he says. It's exactly what he's saying. A bria. If it's not a bria, if it's been pulverized and crushed, then you only need shishim for bittel. If the ant has been crushed,
the cocoa pods or whatever they call them.
960. Not everyone agrees to this. That's what he says. Not everyone agrees to this. He's somech ala poiskim. He writes somach bezeh ala poiskim harosh rashba debria. It's not everyone agrees to this. Debria batla betuf kuf samach. There's such a shita. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know the lumbus for this. V'o deha debria ena betela davka shu also mitchilas b'yaso. He once said, now this is a tremendous chiddush. He once said that the mites that are found in the flower, it's like the worms coming in the fruit after it's been detached from the ground. That's a tremendous chiddush. Bishlam, a fruit is a natural object. You take it off the ground, you cut it off the tree, and now you let it sit for 12 months, and after 12 months, it begins to form a bug. So you can say the bug is being formed within a food. But flour is not a natural product. It's wheat. It's been made, and now you're saying bugs are forming inside the flour, so that type of bug is mutter. That's like a bug that came within the... that it's not. It was never shereit al ha'aretz. That's what he wants to say. Another heter.
They didn't understand that it was coming from eggs that they.
No, they knew that, but that's not relevant. The halacha does not recognize eggs. Halacha, as far as halacha is concerned. No, that's not called. It's not recognized in halacha. We're very comfortable with spontaneous generation.
That's what I'm saying. They didn't realize that these.
It's not relevant. They realized it's not near Leinayim. Since it's not near Leinayim, so we'll work with the Yisoides of spontaneous generation. It's perfectly fine. It's not an egg. There's no Yisur. Davka kashu asa mitchila b'riyasa v'nemola ein asu mitchila b'riyasa l'hu koidim sh'toha koidim sh'pir sh'hoiz muteres before it was perish. This is where it was noilad. This worm, this bug, first came into existence within the flower. It was never shoyretz al ha'aretz. Fine. Uksav soifer kasav oy tam ibne de rechoshim halalu, these worms pegumim. Here a chiddush that because a worm has a foul taste, it's pogum. This is an incredible chiddush. Ve'ein shrichem bittel klal laharbe shitos. The only time you need bittel, is if the worm tastes good. That's what it says. So do copepods, do they taste good? I doubt it. Okay, we have all these heterium for copepods. 960 times water connected to copper card. The copper card does not taste good to heterin. And the copper cards were no longer mitchilas b'riyasa in the water itself. It's no different than the mites in the flour. Right. That's what he says. It's incredible chidushim.
So the mite in the flour doesn't taste good.
Yeah, that's what he says. He says the mites don't taste. Strawberry coated mites. No. But the mites don't taste good, it says. The ain't sweet and bitter. No, no. No, they're not about strawberries. I think even flavored mites. They come in different flavors. You have chocolate mites and strawberry mites.
Mite in the strawberry is good tasting.
He is coming to Paskin that mites, he's coming to find a solution. The reason why he's looking for a solution is because he says you cannot, no one has clean hands when it comes to flour that is used in the summer. That's what he says. The crazy place. See, if you have flour in your closet in the summertime, I guess it's before air conditioning, and it's impossible that you're not gonna, that it's gonna be cleaned from mites. It's inevitable you're gonna have be eating mites when you eat your bread. So how could it be the whole Klal Yisrael is in Nichshol in eating shuatzim? So he's giving us heterim. Heter number one is it's noilad mitchilas b'riyasa. The mites first began to form while it was in the flour. The neila, it's never sharetz alaretz. Heter number two, the mites don't taste good, and the neila, even though it's a bria, it's pogum. Number three, there's bittul in 960 connected the mite. Three heterim why the mites are mutter. You can take these heterim, you can say the same thing when it comes to water. The copper cards in the water. You can say the same heterim. You can learn that they also, the mitchilas b'riyasa, you know, you say that everything is, all the pipes are connected to the reservoirs, which they are. That's really the main heter of Rybelski. It's all really connected. And you can say bittul 960 times water to the mite, and the copper cards are pogum. So what's the big deal? We have over here, learn today, three heterim for kobukot. I imagine most people in Flatbush, most Orthodox people do not have filters on their sink. I think it's a fair statement. No?
Commercial places.
Commercial places. Commercial, okay. Some, you do have filters? Okay, I take it back then. Chsav, so if it costs out, oid mishumination, the choshma elu, poik, bugumi vimtirum, the bitl klaal, habishidos, zeh atam, kosav gam, bo'oruch ha-sholchan. Okay, let's try to finish up. Almost, how many more we have? Just a few to finish up. Tezvav, Yev Shlobotkam. He mentions here, Hanalacha Tezvav refers to if you have worms and you can't check, you should not eat vegetables or fruit that you cannot check. There are too many worms, then stay away. Don't eat those fruits and vegetables. The Yev Shlobotkam, I'm Shel Siavitz. The Ev Shlobotka de Kli Magdil Haroyis, you can use a magnolist. Al Shal Shuvus Tuftavadas. Cost of the Dovah Shemuksak by Tulam Loim Hane Badika Aide Kli. Unbelievable Hanal. If you know for a fact that this vegetable is infested with worms, and you're going to check, it's not, they're not allowed, because your bedika will never do a job. It's so hard to check lettuce, it's so hard to check these things. Even with the bedika, it's not, we assume that you missed. Very good, you caught a couple of them. How many did you leave over? You know, you might think of Sefer Torah. There are people in Eretz Yisrael, they are such bekim in Sefer Torah, before the computer came out, so they still have, so you, the halakha is you have to have it checked three times. So you have a new Sefer Torah, it costs a lot of money. You have to go hire people to sit and to go read through the entire time to check it for the chaseris, viseris, to make sure there's no spelling mistakes. That's a very tedious task. So I remember this years ago, there were three madrigos. If you have a new Sefer Torah, you want to have a check, there are three different prices. There is the cheap level, there's the more expensive, and the very expensive. For $100 or $50, something very, they'll read through the whole Sefer Torah a mile a minute. And guess what? They catch mistakes. I vaguely remember, someone told me the statistics of how many spelling mistakes an average sofer makes in the Sefer Torah. It's like 30. 30 mistakes in the Sefer Torah. Spelling mistakes. Not talking. So, guess what? You pay someone $50, he'll spend 2 hours, he'll zip through the whole Sefer Torah, and he'll catch 29 mistakes.
There's still one.
Sefer Torah is still possible because there's one mistake. So, are you allowed to do that? So, some people, it's good enough for me. 29 out of 30 is good enough for me. And he checked it. So, it's muhsak. It's muhsak. Anyway, you pass like the Rambam. The Rambam says, anyway, that Sefer Torah that's possible is kosher. As long as you don't know. What you don't know is good for you. If you want to pay more money, then you have a booger bucket. If you want to pay someone a lot of money, then you are. then you he has to be will check very carefully. Today it's not no game because every Sefer Torah is only checked by computer.
But they found a bug in the computer also.
they did find bugs in the computer.
If it repeats the word twice, it will not change.
That's not a good quality program. That's the competition. Vavishmeristan has the state of the art software. I know. There's different. There was a lot of competition. It was a big business. Everyone's in the computers. So they had a monopoly. There was a din Torah. Vavishmeristan had a monopoly on checking the Sefer Torah. They went to Bezin. And the Vavishmeristan lost. They lost and they broke them up. It was like a monopoly, and everyone was allowed to enter the market and their own software to check. But a lot of the competition was not quality software, and they didn't really find all the mistakes the way they should have. Vavishmeristan's technology is so advanced that when you scan in, you scan something, and everything's about the internet. Okay, like go to a tefer stam, you give a mezuzah, they scan the mezuzah, and the software is not here. The software is on the mainframe in Eretz Yisrael, and it's sent by the internet. In a second,
it's sent to Eretz Yisrael
in a second, and the mainframe there checks it and sends you back the results in an instant. Now it tells it, by the way, we know who wrote it, we recognize the handwriting, and we have a record, we have this sofer he wrote, and you know what, we know how many exactly what this sofer wrote. At least it was checked with us. He wrote 55 mezuzahs and 2 sefer Torah and 13 megillahs. We know. And know it's so scary. They had stories where there was European Sefer Torah that were known to be written by Michal LeShabbos. They know there were certain people had, you can't judge someone. They didn't have Parnassah. There were Seferim that were caught writing on Shabbos. So the Sefer Torah puzzle. And then you take a Sefer Torah today, an old Sefer Torah, in Aron Kodesh or some shul out, who knows where, even the local, and they bring it to a sofer to have it checked, and they scan a sample of the Sefer Torah for whatever reason, and they press the button, and it goes to the mainframe in Vavishmeristan, and it comes back, oh, by the way, Michal Shabbos wrote the Sefer Torah. How do you know? It was 100 years ago. 100 years ago. How do you know? Sefer Torah was a long guy. Well, we know for a fact that this Sefer Torah was written by him, and we have over here a record of his handwriting, and the computer is so advanced it can pick up the handwriting, and we know that this Sefer Torah... But it's not necessarily possible, because how do you know that he wrote this before he was being Michal Shabbos? Maybe he wrote this in his younger years, so maybe he did Tshuva. So it's not Bukhach. Right. That's because you find a different... Every situation is a different... Yeah, is different.
Software is not 100% legal.
I don't know if the Pesach will say it's 100%. Rav Wozner is very confident in the software. A lot of his Pesach Halacha, he holds from the software. He's a very big Pesach on Hilchos Stam, of Wozner, of Shmuel Wozner. He's very happy with the computers. He really holds. It's very weird to find someone from that generation, it's Mamish, holds from the technology to the degree that he does. I don't know, but let's go over here further. He writes over here, how do we get into this discussion? Davar HaMuchsav, so that's going to give an example. You'll check it, right? I'll bring it to a server to check the server, it'll catch 29 mistakes. Yeah, but there's one you didn't catch. So it's still saved, it's still possible. You're very good. You have a light box, right? All this high tech, taking you to the store, they show you, look at this. We have a light box, ultraviolet light. And we put the lettuce on the light box and we can see all the bugs. Really? How many bugs did you find on this piece of lettuce? We found 5. Maybe there were 6. And now when your customer is eating the lettuce, he's eating a sherry, he's eating over and 5 lavim, all because of you. Because of you, the mashkiach, and said it's okay. And eating over and 5 lavim is not a good thing. It's not what you're paying $50 for. You come to a restaurant for a lunch, $50 expensive lunch, and to get out of it, that you've been over and 5 lavim. Not so poshet. So who says that we rely on your bedikah? If it's muchzik to have bugs, good, you'll find bugs, but you're always going to miss one. So who says it's okay? That's a very important point to think of. So he says, that's why many rabbanim, they don't allow like for small little things. You want to have shalosh shuddos, he mentioned Rabbi Bergman, right? I know my father also didn't allow it. I remember my father didn't allow by shalosh shuddos. My father, because there was no. We had a little shalosh shuddos in shul. Who was really preparing it? The guy was preparing it. So what do we need it for? So for sure, it's a wedding. You want to go out to go to a wedding? Okay, oh yeah, for Shalosh Shudas every Shabbos afternoon. You really missing the lettuce? Are you really missing the lettuce? We can do without it on Shabbos afternoon for 10-15 people. Therefore, better stay away from it. All water. It's all good and fine when you can rely upon it, but when it's not necessary, you don't want to rely upon this and not to get yourself into trouble. Okay, now he talks about fish. Maybe I will do this maybe next time. I want to talk about two shvats, so we'll leave this for, we'll finish this up next time. Stop here.